This is Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
JBL Tour Pro 3 earbuds are for those who don't conform to the standard.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into some touchscreen technology, how about the smart charging case, clear sound? These are not standard things. You're only going to get them with the JBL Tour Pro 3, baby.
And I love the sound of JBL when it goes... These earbuds are packed with innovation because you can't stand out by following others.
Touchscreen smart charging case for one-touch control, instant EQ customization, true adaptive noise canceling, and the one-of-a-kind audio transmitter, which can plug and play with everything from game consoles to in-flight entertainment. What more could you want? First doesn't follow. Grab a pair at JBL.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine crisis. War crimes. I read from an essay published at Bloomberg by a former prime minister of Great Britain, Gordon Brown, who's now at the UN. He writes, in the spirit of the 1942 agreement, I and more than 100 former and current European leaders and international lawyers are urging the US to join us in supporting a special tribunal to try Putin for his crimes of aggression. There is an American precedent that might encourage President Joe Biden to seize the moment. In 93 and 94, President Bill Clinton pushed for and succeeded in establishing special tribunals for dealing with war crimes in Yugoslavia and Rwanda. I welcome Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, a senior fellow, teaches law at the University of Chicago and NYU, to comment on what appears now to be an opinion by the president who has voiced it in person, and the Secretary of State, Mr. Blinken, that Vladimir Putin is a war criminal. What is to be done? Richard, a very good evening to you. War yes. crimes have a definition at the UN. They also have a definition at the International Criminal Court. I don't need to prove, I'm not a prosecutor, but certainly we can see in photographs that war crimes are being committed. So, a special tribunal, how do you respond to that? Because it describes what had to be done at the end of the Second War, the Nuremberg trials. Is that model useful here in the 21st century? Good evening to you.
We never know. The Nuremberg trials took place after the war itself was over. We already had these people inside captivity, and there was nobody who thought that what went on in the crematoria had anything to do with war. And there was no UN at the time which would allow you to find some kind of neutral forum. And I think what happened is everybody kind of regarded it as a gutsy maneuver, but they regarded it very much as a necessary one. And I think many Germans who were trying to recover from the Nazi situation also agreed there was a kind of a purification that went through by doing this and doing it in the city of Nuremberg, which was, of course, the hotbed of German Nazism in the periods before the war when Hitler would mass his parades, special parties and so forth. You have to catch Mr. Putin first. You have to conquer Russia first for it to be a direct power. None of those things are there. The two examples they give about Yugoslavia and Rwanda, well, Yugoslavia at that point was breaking up and wasn't even a single state, and it certainly isn't today. Rwanda was a small little nation from which you didn't have the trouble. So you could kind of lever your power to do those sorts of things here. To put this thing into place, of course, is going to be a nightmarish kind of proportion. I take this as a mark of desperation and disbelief on the part of everybody in the West about how brutal and heinous and utterly inexcusable everything that Putin done. So the way in which I see this is it's an effort to sort of rally the troops in order to continue to go forward. And in fact, its strategic maneuver may well be, if this turns out to be a wartime and we can't try him in absentia, it may well be signaling some kind of a shift in the kinds of activities we're prepared to take. If you recall, when Putin sort of announced this, he says, this is a surgical strike. I'm taking out the military sources. I'm going to spare all the civilian sources. Well, it turns out he has a bumbling army on the ground. I think virtually everybody starts to agree with that. And so he's decided to go one step further. My hope would be that they would use this thing to say, well, maybe we ought to send airplanes into the Ukraine in order to stop this thing from taking place. Maybe we even ought to send NATO troops of some sort in there to support or in background, because if this man is a war criminal, then all of the promises that we made are not going to be relevant. So to put just in the simplest form, you don't need NATO in order to create a war crime. And if in fact there is a war crime that's going on long before you can try the fellow, it may well be legitimate for you to do things this way. Now, there's a risk, because I think if Putin were to capture Zelensky, I think he would probably want to try him as a war criminal under the Nazi stuff. So this is just another form of escalation, frankly, one that I don't see that you can avoid. Generally, I'm a moderate hawk when it comes to foreign affairs. So I think that Biden's remarks were ill-timed and not very well reflected. But I think he kind of captures the frustration and disbelief that everybody in the United States has about everything that went on in Ukraine.
There are many anecdotes in 1945 that the conduct of the Hitlerite army, the Wehrmacht and the SS, were informed that they were prey to being war criminals. Certainly, we know the infamous example of the evacuation of the death camps in Poland before the Russian advance. This is something that is clearly an indication that the men who were in charge of those camps knew that they were going to be prosecuted. The Allies had already made these announcements that they intended to very carefully go ahead and capture everyone who was named in these indictments. It was happening all during that 1943-44 period. So it did change the direction of the war. There were instances, and I don't have the anecdotes at hand, but I know we've both read them, where German commanders would surrender their forces for fear that they would be accused of, and there would be evidence of war crimes all around them, execution of prisoners, using prisoners as shields. And so, Richard, there is tactical and strategic use to naming war criminals during the conflict in order to change the conduct of the commanders on the field, such as the Russian generals who could claim that they'd been misled, telling them that NATO was attacking Russia or whatever fairy tale their defense counsel come up with. So is that a useful driver to naming a war crime tribunal, though you don't have suspects at this point?
Yeah, I think the argument of calling it a war crime and even leaving the formation of the tribunal to labor, it does do this. It does create enormous pressure on individuals. And one of the things that I think one has to consider is that if Mr. Putin is a war crime, then the inner circle at the very least to advise him on some of these things would have to be war criminals themselves. And so what you're suggesting is if you have that label on you and you think that you are subject to capture, particularly if you're Ukrainian, you're somebody who's Russian inside Ukraine, at that particular point, I do think that they're going to be thinking a little bit deep. So put it this way. I gather they've already killed four Russian generals inside Ukraine, which is a
That's the number that the London papers report, yes.
Yes, well, and there are others there. Suppose you now capture some of these people. And what you announce is you have full knowledge that the air bombardment is going on. You're doing this particular kind of thing. We're going to treat you as a war criminal, and we're not doing it in an absentia, and we're not waiting till the conclusion of the war for this thing to start. And I do think that there is some chance that this might influence the way they go. I think of Putin in the following way. I don't know how much poker you play. I don't play very much, but there's an expression known as being beaten on the table. That is, you look at the cards that are shown, and you know their whole cards, and you can't possibly match what the other guy has had. And you're still bet up. And Putin seems to think that when he's really in a terrible situation, the only thing he could do is to double down on his bets. And this might be an effort to slow down, if not him, all the other people who are there. So I think, in effect, you know, Brown is, I guess, a Labour Party guy. I think if I remember this correctly.
He was a Labour Prime Minister, and now he's at the UN in charge of education. He's an esteemed international diplomat, yes. Yeah.
And so what happens, this indicates it's a very broad left-right coalition. I think it's extremely important when you're trying to do something like this, that there'd be unanimity with respect to the people who are involved in this situation. It would be just disastrous if there were dissenting voices that came up and said, no, this is an inappropriate procedure. And I think what happens is Brown's a shrewd guy, and you said it wasn't him alone. He already had a long list of people who signed on to that. I think the NATO leaders have to sign on to this as well. I think what you have to do is to try to even get people like in India and Pakistan to join on to this thing. The strategy, I think, in another sense, is what you're trying to do is to isolate Russia and China from the rest of the civilized war. The Chinese, you want to make them so that they don't want to do this again. And the Russians, you want to make them pay a very heavy price, not only in terms of the financial situation, but in moral terms.
Richard, a detail about China and Russia. The International Criminal Court, which is a product of the international treaty called the Rome Statute, 2002. The U.S., China, Russia, and India are not signatories. That is often raised as a mitigating factor in the idea of going ahead with war crimes. The U.S. says it won't sign because it believes its citizens would be under a court's jurisdiction that would violate their constitutional rights. The other countries, I don't have their responses. But setting up a special tribunal might avoid that, or does it just raise the issue that the U.S. is, well, let us put it this way, victor's justice. That's the issue it raised.
Well, that was the issue with Nuremberg and so forth. Look, I think, in effect, what the United States has said about this is, in fact, very serious. There's a theory known as universal jurisdiction. If you decide somebody in America is a war criminal, any nation anywhere could decide to try that particular person within their own jurisdiction under their own particular rules. So I understand why the United States doesn't want to do this. But it's one thing to not sign a treaty when you have no idea of how it's going to apply. The advantage of a special tribunal is we know exactly whom we want to chase after, and we know what we're trying to do. So essentially what's happened is there are three things. One, you'd like to get Putin and his guy. Two, what happens is you'd like to be able to use this as a lever during the war to break the alliance or the loyalty of some of the Russians to what's going on. And three, afterwards, when it comes to trying to figure out what's going on inside of Russia, there is the question as to whether or not you're going to be able to depose him through peaceful means as a leader of Russia. If the brand of a war criminal sticks, that may well lead to greater resolve on the part of Russians, who today have been hopelessly fragmented and divided, to unify and to force this man out, led ironically probably by the oligarchs. So I think it has all of these particular advantages. And what happens is, if you call it a special tribunal, you're not committing yourself to some long-term international order, which is exactly what was done in Nuremberg. So I'm certainly not going to say that the fact that the United States won't subscribe to universal jurisdiction under these kinds of cases is a reason for not trying somebody who's a known criminal. And in fact, you know, if an American person engaged in these kinds of atrocities, which I don't think could happen given our institutional structure, I could understand if other people took the same attitude to us. But this is the only major land war that's taken place in Europe since 1945. And it's a brutal invasion. It's utterly inexcusable. I mean, it's a combination of evil on the one hand and ineptitude on the other, John, because if the Russians were able to do this within a week, none of this would have happened, right? And God knows what the world would have looked like thereafter. But now it seems perfectly clear that there's no way that the Russians can establish a, quote, legitimate government in the Ukraine. What they're going to have to do is to maintain it by force of occupation in the face of insurgency. So the whole thing has a complete picture of madness, craziness, and it's all attributable to one man and his henchmen.
I'm speaking to Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, a senior fellow, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. There are attendant puzzles about naming Vladimir Putin a war criminal, and all that is to be filled in when we come back. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.